Liberals, the first topic of the day has shown itself, and that is that of your senior colleague.
My friend and brother.
Your friend and brother, Festus Keyamo, my own good bro. I haven't seen him since he entered government.
I went to see
him. I haven't seen him since he entered government.
I went to see him twice in the office. Yes. Once I was in Abuja.
Yes.
So I stopped by.
Are you able to see him?
Yes, yes. It picks calls.
I've been calling him, but it's okay. This is what happened. I understand.
I went to see him, pay cut CVC. Then another time, a labor dispute, they also needed to see him. So I took them to him and he
solved it.
Yes, he resolved it.
That's good. Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I avoid contacts. Even my friend who fell my hand last week.
Festus and I have come a long way. Just like you in the office now. I will go pay cut CVC first.
Yes.
And then subsequently, the only thing they owe me is just do well.
Well, Festus, we can tell you the truth. How will I get to Abuja? I don't fly local. I avoid it like the plague, and I can't go by road.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's get down to brass tacks. The Festus Keyamo gave an opinion, a legal opinion, on the NSAS panel in Lagos. Let me first of all lay the groundwork for you to build on. My suspicion is, first and foremost, when you're a top official of the government, you don't give a personal opinion. You give the opinion of your principal, you know, and I believe that Festus was given the federal government position. When you are an activist, and I will take your opinion on that when we get there, when you are an activist, your identity is lost completely. When you work in an organization like that, in a structured place like government and so on and so on, there's nothing like your opinion. There is the principal's opinion. You can't run away from it. So those who keep saying, we are disappointed, you're disappointed. Are you disappointed at the fact that he took the job? Or are you disappointed at what... If you're disappointed at what he said, you're wasting your time. He will always give the position of government. If you're not happy that he took the job, then who else would you want to take the job?
I would disagree a little bit that if you work in a government in a proper structure, you can have an opinion that is different from the opinion of
the
principal.
You will not state it officially. That's what it is.
Because he also said that, look, this is my personal opinion. I will address this as a minister, but as a senior advocate. If the opinion were different from government perception of what happened. Our opinions wouldn't have been like this. Would have been okay. That's probably his personal opinion.
I think this is my theory. Is that they are testing the waters with that opinion? That's probably the way.
I agree.
Sorry, one second. That's probably the way the government is going to go, rather than pass the opinion through the information minister, who temporarily has been discredited and has been beaten into a. It's whatever, outside there in public opinion. Let's use Festus, who is an activist of some sort.
I agree on that too. Mm-hmm. I agree on that because Festus is very vocal.
Yes.
And there's this belief that the Festus Keyamo, the activist Festus Keyamo, is still the Festus Keyamo today.
It cannot
be. So the government will think, well, let's ride on that belief.
You know, we spoke before we came that part of what some people think is that, if Jimmy Disu is going to come into government, he's going to bring in all his people. It doesn't work that way. Yeah. The moment he walks through that door,
a lot of people turn their back on him. Look, this man, he gets there, he will change.
He will change.
But really, that said, I also, at the inception, that's why sometimes it's good to, you know, look at the books, consult widely. At the inception of the panel, some of us are inclusive, you know, initially. We haven't read section 4.1.4 of the Lagos State Panel of Inquiry laws. Had that belief that, does the Lagos State have powers to set up a panel to look into the activities of federal government agency? The answer is no. But the panel was not set up to look into the activities of federal government agencies.
Exactly.
The panel was set up to look into debts and abuses.
Or so we don't have a very long argument. it was to look and find out what actually happened, the event. You can,
it was not just the NSAS and not just the Lekki toll gate issue, but the NSAS and the abuses, police, human rights abuses, human rights violations. Because what led to the protest and breakdown of law and order was the fact that people were protesting the abuses that they were receiving in the hands of government agencies. And so the Economic Council met with a senior advocate of Nigeria and a professor of law also, and they decided, okay, since the states are well empowered under the law to look into the issues of enforcement of fundamental human rights, so let the states set up inquiry to inquire into the activities of this human rights violation. And in looking into the activities of human rights violations, complaints were made. People came to complain about how their rights were violated. And pursuant to the provisions of the Constitution and the law of natural justice, or what we call audiotare patent, you must hear the other side. And then the powers of the panel to also invite anybody. The panel decided, look, I've heard from you as a complainant. You said your rights are violated. So I want to hear from that man that you are alleging this right against, which the police and the army. At the initial stage, the police also thought that it was an inquiry into the activities. And if you remember, there was an attempt to challenge. And I think at that point, the police also was advised that, no, this is not an inquiry into your activities, but into your activities that led to discomfort or harm to other persons.
Now,
so that people will understand this. And so, in fulfillment of the right of the police, also the panel invited them and the Nigerian army, come state your own side of the story. So, in stating their own side of the story, it does not mean that the panel was solely set up to look into activities of federal government agencies that they do not have control over. That is where Festus missed the narrative. If it was a panel set up strictly to look into the activities of the agencies of federal government, that's where you now say, yes, oh, Festus is right. But in this case, it was, does the governor have power to look into human rights abuses of residents in his state? Yes, he does have power.
Okay. Now, you know, I'm looking beyond the statement and asking myself, would this, what Festus said, is it a, will it be a reflection of the federal government's reaction to the white paper whenever it comes? Would we find, could we find a situation where the federal government just puts its own reaction on the fact that it was, and then you can go sort yourselves out in court another 1-2 years, that will be going on. Do you think that's a strategy?
I would, since I'm not in the mind of the federal government, but I would take the issues that have played out. I would not advise the federal government
to go that way.
Secondly, also I would not want to believe that they will go that way. They probably might be testing the waters. I disagree with some of the conclusions reached by the panel on the basis of the contradictions, but that does not mean that I will condemn the entire recommendations. It is a notorious fact, even the government agree that the Nigerian police, as presently constituted, needs reformation.
Yes.
Everybody in Nigeria agrees with that. And so, on the issue of whether how many people died or whether people died, the government can still be looking into all of those. But the fact remains that our police, as presently constituted, the Nigerian army also, this idea of inviting the Nigerian army into civil matters also, we should, there's need for government to consistently look at it. Initially, the government said they were going to, you know, set up, they've disbanded SARS and set up what they call tactical, whatever name called. But it was still a replica of the SARS. Modus operandi of SARS. And as I speak to you now, still, you still have police harassing people. On even my son, my young boy, was coming from a cinema, a basketball competition that he went to play. They said he was wearing, was in a taxi. Said he was wearing a neck chain, bling. And they stopped the taxi and said, young boy, bring your phone. Immediately called me. And I said, Oga, do you know the class that boy is? SS2 student, you're asking him to give. Why would he give you his phone? He said, I should identify myself. I told him, oh, sorry, we're just on stop and search. You know, so these activities, what if, you know, so these activities.
You identified yourself?
Yes. Then he now said, okay, sorry, sir, we're just on stop and search.
Why not search him?
They allowed them to go. So you have a lot of people like that who are suffering the abuses, the violation of police, you know, day in, day out. So I will not advise the federal government to go in that trajectory. They probably might be testing the waters, because I can't remember the last time I heard from Festus on matters of this nature. And then when this issue started, Festus did not give an opinion as to the legality or otherwise. If you think that, look, this panel, as presently constituted, he ought to have, as being the Festus that we know, ought to have expressed that opinion in writing, either through an article, or to the vice president, who was the head of the economic team. The same way, he expressed an opinion on the legality or otherwise of the acting chairman of the APC, National Working Committee. But that didn't happen. And then after the panel report, the debate back and forth, and then boom, you know, you have Festus on TV.
You said that there were certain things that you didn't, I mean, normally nobody agrees with everything totally.
Yes, yes.
But what are the one or two things that you didn't agree with?
Yeah, you know, in law, there's what we call hearsay evidence. It is a notorious fact and a common ground for everybody. You say hearsay evidence is not admissible in law. Even non-lawyers know that. So when, as a panel, and then you are to inquire into activities of events that happened, you try as much as you can to leave out hearsay of people that, you know, especially when you have, you know, lawyers for and against, you leave out hearsay evidence, hearsay testimony of people that, you know, you did not interrogate. And especially also the evidence of, Olalekan or so, that evidence was a video that was played in the panel. Olaleko did not appear before the panel. Olaleko was not cross-examined by members of the panel. But for the panel members to rely heavily on the evidence of Olaleko, for me, what the panel was simply doing was also putting a nail to the coffin of the report. That is, if anything, if the report in the public domain is anything to go by, I would want to believe that the one submitted to the Lagos State government is different. Secondly, the pathologist, Professor, what's his name now? You call the pathologist who is an expert in that field, who told you, gave evidence of what he saw and what he examined. And then you come in your conclusion, you completely jettison the evidence of the pathologist without referring to it, and then you go rely on the evidence of Olalekan, who was not in the panel. What you are basically doing is you're giving with one hand and taking with another. You give opportunity to people that want to discredit your report with those inconsistencies. So for me, I looked at it and like, how can a panel sit down? You're inquiring into activities of what happened. And then you start by first and foremost defining what a massacre is. And it's like, definitely people are going to say, oh, look, this is not what you were sent to do. You are here to do a hatchet job, because there has been argument for and against. So once that happened, and then you're relying heavily on, then you begin to mention names of people. There's need for us to have data of the numbers, the how many people we are in Nigeria. This idea of somebody died, a Doris somewhere died. Doris is not identified, and the panel did not interrogate, you know, the bodies or that body to even identify. You know, so all when all of those happen, and you have names, you know, without son names, when all of those happen, you give opportunity for people also to interrogate those, your conclusion. That's why, for me, I would want to say, I don't want to believe in that report that is in the public. I would rather wait for the white paper. But if that report that is in the public is anything to go by, there are a lot of inconsistencies.
Now you talk about that report and talk about white paper, and that you don't think. What does the white paper produce the report of the panel?
No, what the white paper...
Or it works on the report. Therefore, if you don't believe that this report in circulation is the authentic one, so we never get to see it. Is that what you're saying?
No, the white paper actually, the report it's submitted to the convening authority.
Yes.
Usually, a white paper is extracted from the report to make recommendation, and on the basis of the recommendation, the committee, the government can reproduce the reports. So on the basis that, mind you, it's an inquiry, it's an inquisition into activities of what happened. On the basis of that, you reach a conclusion and make a recommendation. So the white paper is to extract what government is to do. So on the basis of this, we set up a panel, and the panel, having taken evidence from so number, agreed that this happened, this didn't happen, and then now came up with these recommendations. In the likes of that, the government is going to take so and so and so and so step. So that we now, on the, it is that white paper that you can hold government against, because that is what the government said they are going to do on the basis. It's like sending somebody on an errand. The person go delivers the message to you. It is now left for you to say, okay, the message that you have delivered to me, this is what I'm going to do with it. That's what the white paper, that's the white paper.
So what do you think, or what do you expect to see in the white paper specifically?
What I definitely, I want to presume, and I don't want to preempt, but I can't say that with the statement credited, or with what I heard the governor of Lagos State said to the president, the white paper would contain, because he already said it, that we've set up a committee, a trust fund. The white paper will contain a trust fund set up to compensate victims of abuses and violation. The white paper also, because they also said they were going to receive briefings from the IG Inspector General of Police, the white paper will contain steps to reform the Nigerian police. So that's basically what I would expect, the I'm expecting to read from the white paper.
We this is the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu, brought to you by Mr. Malta. We're going to take a break at some point, any minute from now. But can I sneak in one call? Let me sneak in this call. Hello, good morning.
Yes, Uncle Jimmy and Ogali Bros, my friend.
Yes.
My name is Kelvin.
We know.
Whether white paper or no white paper, I know that there was a massacre at the door.
Yes.
And that should be addressed. Professor Skeyam, I have my reservation, so I don't need to start talking about, to analyze anything about that, about the gentleman. I have my reservation about that. My worry is, why all this prolonging of white paper, no white paper? And the whole state had just concluded their own panel, and they've submitted the report to the government. Why are you prolonging matters here in Lagos? At the whole state, they should take a down from my daughter. At the whole state, is implementing their own report as we speak now. And we're here still going about white paper, no white paper. I beg, let's, you know what? This is all becoming like a government magic to me, and it's becoming disinteresting. Thank you.
I actually believe that a lot of things happened on that day at the toll gates. A lot of things happened, and the opportunity to know would have been this inquiry, this inquisition. But unfortunately, the report also had, because of the inconsistencies in the alleged or the leak report, that might rob us of the opportunity to know some things. And so, so at the end of the day, what we're just going to see will be some of those recommendations, and the other things that happened will be debated for as long as we can remember.
And you want to react to what Mr. Owonikoko said?
Owonikoko reacted as a counsel to Lagos State Government.
Yes.
And typical of a lawyer in a matter, once there is a judgment against you, the first thing you do, you study the judgment and raise grounds of appeal. Owonikoko raised 40 grounds of appeal. I want to call them grounds of appeal.
Appeal, yes.
I raised 40 grounds of appeal. And like I said, I pointed some of them out, and I will agree with him on some of them. And that's why I think that the panel should have done a more thorough job.
No, you think so?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, we got to go on the break. When we come back, we'll continue that discussion. It's the Daily Digest. Libros Ashoma in the house. We'll take a short break and then we'll be right back.
You're listening to Jimmy Disu.
Jimmy Disu.
Right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Nigeria Info.
Yeah, we're back. This is Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu. We're going to open up our lines anytime from now. 0700-993-993-993 and the alternate line 01465-7190. Yes, Libros, you were saying something.
Yes, like I said, I the panel reports, or the panel was an opportunity for us to know what happened, not just at the Lekki toll gate, but in Lagos during the protest. That's why I said it was an inquiry into human rights abuses. And against that backdrop, this idea, whether it's one person that died, one person at all, you know, by the time you now, you know, embellish or create contradictions and doubts in the minds of a discerning mind reading the report, it will give opportunity to those that are saying nothing happened to rubbish the panel. Whether the live bullets or blank bullets were fired, when you call a pathologist, that's a professional, a professor. There's no way you can rely, jettison the evidence of a pathologist and rely on evidence of hearsay. And then also, secondly, when you completely isolate the testimonies of policemen who also came to say, look, we lost people. And then you listed people who didn't come to say they lost people on the basis of a video that was shown you. You are also giving opportunity to people to discredit that report. That is why I would say that let me just say that maybe that is not the authentic report. But if it is, it was a badly done job.
Wow. So where do we go from there? Do we set opportunity, up another panel?
Our opportunity to know may never come our way, like Fela said.
But can the government, can the white paper indicate that the government is not satisfied with the report and they set up another panel? I'm just asking, you know.
No, you know, we are a country of panels. At the end, how many years? After sitting for 1 year, we are panel beaters. After sitting for 1 year, and then you set up another panel, and that one, before you know, you can't keep these things on the top burner for too long.
Yeah.
Before you know, people would get fatigued about the issues and we move on. What we need now, the most important thing that we need, while debating how many people or who died and who didn't die, this need for what led to all of this is the fact that we have a police that you can't call a police. There's need for reformation of the police. Recently, I talked about this return system in the police. You have a DPO, the area commander or commissioner will call all of them for a Monday meeting and says they need so and so and so amount. Without impressed, the police, where do you expect the man to get the money from? He would send his boys to go gather something from the from the street. And it is you and I. That's why our police have been turned to beggars. And in some cases, when they can intimidate you, they intimidate to collect from you. So even if you pay them, their salary is 1 million. As long as you have this return system where a new IG comes, everybody's struggling to go and make returns to him so that, you know, they will have there'll be favoritism. You continue to have this kind of police. Until we reform our police, where I truly will know that police is my friend and I can travel from here to Abeokuta in the night and I see the police, I will not be scared. That is when we will truly begin to say yes. Even when there's protests, you are sure that the police will be.
And that will never happen. So let me just take one or two more phone calls on this matter, then I'll move to other matters. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Morning, sir. Who's calling?
Akujiri, good morning.
Morning.
I just want to be reminded as anonymous. I want to tell you what happened in that toll that was there live. You see, we are all scared to come to testify what we witnessed that day because everybody's scared of his life. Uncle, I was there when in that law was after everyone left.
No, we have to take. I can hardly hear what you're saying, really. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Morning, sir. Yes, you are loud and clear.
Good morning, Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. My name is Fabuma.
Yes, sir.
I want to see. Is it not? I want to ask your learned gentleman there. Is it not contentious or prejudicious for this comment from the likes of Lai Mohammed Amu when the white paper is not yet out?
Yes.
Secondly, you said that we should not expect that activism from Keamu being now an aide of the government.
Yes.
I want to say activism is not a course, it's not a profession.
It's a way of life
that you read in the university. It's a call. It's a conviction. It is something you believe in. So come rain, come shine. you believe in it, you work. So it was during the time of Wolo Soyinka. I remember he was an activist and was appointed, I think, by the government of, was it Babangida?
Babangida.
And then he declined when the going went tough.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Well, your last phrase lends credence to what I said. You cannot. The truth is, when you work in an organization, which I have done at the highest level, albeit as a very young man, your opinion can be made internally, but when you stand up to talk, you know, with the toga of your principal, you can't be. Let's have a debate on that.
You can't be in Nigeria, no matter how you mean well. You can't be an activist and work in Nigeria.
You have to make up your mind.
Choose one.
I want to
remain where I am. Like I tell people, say, "Oh, liberals, I pray for you to get government appointment." I say, "God forbid." Answer, amen for me. Afe Babalola did not become Attorney General for him to be worthy and impact life. I haven't understood what government is in Nigeria.
Yes.
You can't be an activist. If it's a calling for you, you can't be an activist and be in government.
It doesn't.
You will disagree with them consistently.
Even let me go a bit further and let's be very honest with ourselves. Once you are within the ambit of some kind of organization, identified, and your identity is tied to it, you really and truly can. It's a contradiction.
The organization have ideologies that you also must promote. They pay you. So,
yes.
So you can't say, look, no. Because anyway, that's personal. I won't say it on air.
No, you see, let's get this very.
It was a conversation I had with Festus. I won't say it on air. That's a personal conversation between you and I.
But the way it works is, before you align yourself with people in whatever manner.
Yes, you must agree.
You must agree with some of the things that they're doing. So you can't to try to be, say you are an activist and you are in government. Is a contradiction.
Yes, it's a big contradiction. And so that's why, for me, if you're my friend and colleague and then you go into government, the only thing I tell you, I wish you well, and please remember that you have a constituency and people are looking up to you. But if at the end of the day you are not able to live up to the ideas of your constituency, that's between you and your God. I won't judge you on the basis of the fact that you are working in government, you've elected to. But people also should understand that the moment you elect to work in government, government has an ideology they want to project. So the moment that person, you don't say, "Oh, you disappoint me." That's him. He decided to. Other people will say, "I can't do that because I want to maintain this position."
But by the same analogy, we don't want to discourage good people, and competent people from going to government. We don't want to do that.
No, but for me, like you said, ideology matters.
Yeah.
If you are in a government and I look at you and we do not share the same belief. I read the books of late Pa Obafemi Awolowo. He had reasons for not forming an alliance, a political alliance with certain political parties. He said because they don't share the same political ideology. They don't share the same beliefs. So if they say, "Tell me your friends and I'll tell you who you are." So if I say, "Oh, you are my friend, but we don't share the same belief." But we can't accept. Two cannot work together except, how do they even say it in the Bible? So it is good if you have good people in government and you know that, yes, these good people will give you a good hand or a free hand to work with. Yes, fine. It is good to go work, make a difference. But the moment you notice any change, it is better to opt out. But
okay.
If you can't opt out,
okay. We could debate all day about that. The major reason why you're here is there's this court declaration in Abuja that bandits are nothing else but terrorists. What is the legal implication of that court's statement?
You know, like we say in law, the law is what the court says it is.
Okay.
So that's why in some cases you say, "Okay, this is the provisions of the law," and a lawyer will say, "I want to test that provision of the law in court." So let the court make a pronouncement on it. It is also agreed that some of these activities are criminal in nature. So you really don't need a pronouncement to treat them as crime because the law already, you know, pronounced them so. And the courts over time have passed judgment, you know, condemning people that have been engaged in such activities as criminal. But when you now talk about terrorism, you know, it's now a global fear. Also, you know, lawyers can be very, very corny. Lawyers can be very corny. Lawyers are one, if you don't take time, they say lawyers make fortune out of people's misfortune. And lawyers can make or mar a country. And then you can charge somebody under the Terrorism Act and a lawyer will just come, a smart lawyer will raise a preliminary objection and say, no, that this organization that he belongs to, there is nowhere in the books that you don't have a right to associate. And this organization, you could have charged him under the criminal code, but to name him a terrorist, that there is no foundation in it in law. And the court will look at the book and say, well, I agree with this lawyer. And then that criminal will just walk away free. So in that vein, what government, you know, over time do is to make application before the courts, listing these activities, and then now requests that, you know, such activities be tagged terrorist activities, including rape. Because if you look at the order, the order listed all of these crimes as terrorist activities and listed not just organizations, even persons.
But what's the
legal implication?
Yes, between somebody either being called a criminal or a terrorist. I mean, surely there must be some legal nomenclature, must be some legal whatever.
You just the same way we graduate misdemeanor, felony.
Oh, I see.
Yes, we graduate offenses. A misdemeanor, a minor offense, can be a minor offense, but when it's a felony, it's of graver consequences than a misdemeanor. So in the same way, everybody that had committed a crime is a criminal, including somebody who is a terrorist. He committed a crime, is a criminal.
Yes. But
what offense did this person commit? He committed act of terrorism. You know, so the penalties for that action would be higher than just somebody who committed a mere, you know, crime of going to steal. Or you, what the court also had defined now is to ensure that if you, your actions are, you know, such that, you know, they can be likened to the actions of these organizations that were listed as organizations that are perpetrating terrorism act, it means that, you know, you are a terrorist also. So, but the problem here is, you know, every law in Nigeria is subject to abuse. The problem here is that you are in a country where, you know, people do not even read law books, including those who are supposed to execute the law. So, a dictator can also blanketly use that order to just hound people and tag them terrorists. So that's where also our police needs also to be careful, not to now begin to indiscriminately charge everybody as terrorists. Because the law, the Gazette says that any person or group of persons that carries out these activities listed here under or that are similar to these activities is a terrorist. And so, you know, and so because he carried grievous offenses, you now say, okay, look, I want to deal with a sheriff. Not this sheriff, another sheriff. You know, so, yes, he was suspected to have raped the neighbor's daughter. It's a terrorist act. So we'll charge him under the Terrorism Act. And then, so that the court will not grant him bail because he's alleged terrorist. Because he's, you know, he carries stiffer penalties and, you know, all of those. So we should also be able to create a diverse and a dichotomy. And then we should also have the willpower to ensure that, you know, we don't just window dress this and then we do dress this and then make sure that the words of Sheikh Gumi does not come to pass. That it's just a change of nomenclature that the government will not be able to.
I wonder what you think of Sheikh Gumi, though.
From the definition.
Yes.
Taiwo Justice, Taiwo Taiwo's definition, Sheikh Gumin should be charged for terrorism.
Well, you reckon?
Yes.
Mm.
If you look at his actions, his utterances, and from that.
What about the fact that, okay, so he goes to meet them, gives us suggestions on how to handle them. That is neither here nor there.
You see, the problem is, it's neither here nor there. So you are a spokesperson for the bandits.
The bandits.
The terrorists now. You are their spokesperson. Known spokesperson. And then, if you can go meet them and discuss with them and even take pictures with them, how come government is not able to identify them, arrest them? You're negotiating with them. People who are killing, who are terrorizing the country. You are like, you know, a bridge between. So that means you must share back to ideology. You must share some form of ideology with them.
Okay, we have to go, Liberals. But before we go, I'd like to take two more calls. Very quickly, please. 1 minute. Hello, good morning.
Good evening, good morning, sir.
Yes, quickly.
Hello, good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning.
The law, I'm not happy. You give soft landing to Festus Keyamo.
I'm not here to give him hard landing.
Give him a soft landing this morning.
No, I'm not here to give him hard landing.
As a minister of whatever, and you go to national television, then later you say it's your own personal opinion. Look at the robbery cost now in the country. Thank you.
Oh, okay, let me quickly react to that and in less than a minute get your reaction. Do you think, I think that Festus had no business talking about this because he's a minister for labor.
Yeah.
However, I'm not unaware of the fact that he could jolly well have been. People need to know how government operates.
Yes.
He could have been instructed to go do just that.
I think that's why I said, when was the last time we heard from Festus? For me, I think Festus coming from the school of thought he's coming from, it should have been more sensitive to the debates, you know, to the issues, than since he didn't speak about the legality otherwise before this time.
And since it's not under his immediate function,
if I were him, I would have declined making comments on it. A report had been submitted, shown as a senior advocate and a respecter of law and as a member of cabinet, since a report had been submitted and a white paper is yet to be released, please excuse me, I will not make a comment on that. That would have been a honorable thing to do.
I think it should have applied even more discretion to say that.
Just the same way I thought.
Yes, it's not under.
Ought to have excused himself from the Lagos panel. I didn't say that.
Oh, Ebo.
Yes.
Because of the court case.
Because of his interest at the toll gate. And it ought to also have excused himself the moment he was nominated.
That's where we have to knock it off. Thank you very much, Liberals.
Always my pleasure.
Yes. Discussions with Liberals never end. They never end. We could run from now till 12. But we got to go. Tomorrow we'll be back. The Daily Digest on Wednesdays. I have apologies from Miss Willoughby, who said she would be willing to come. You know, she's the teacher that we honored. But unfortunately, you know, she's a bit elderly and the doctor's appointment now came into play. But I have a substitute for you. And tomorrow's Dear Bumi, If I Were You, I'll watch it on YouTube. Let me just give you a heads up. Yes, Liberals on YouTube.
I definitely will.
But tomorrow, you need to first of all see the person who I'm talking to.
I've seen the person.
Yeah. Okay, let me give you a WAEC, whatever. Go to my Instagram page. The advert is already up about my guest for tomorrow. Even you don't know.
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay.
I don't know.
You don't know. I will show you now. So we'll be back here tomorrow. Tomorrow will be Dear Bumi, and like I said, I'd advise very strongly that you know you watch on YouTube, you know, so that you can have that's it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Even Sherry, she's excited. So we'll be back again tomorrow, and we're getting very close to Christmas. I haven't forgotten the promises that I made to you. I hope to redeem them, hopefully by the last week of Christmas. One more time again, Liberals, thank you so much for coming. And Sherif,
yes, sir.
It's good to have you back. Hail and hearty.
It's good to be back.
And chatty.
It's good to be back.
I was so excited to see him this morning. The Tekkers are next. Coming in first will be Tekke 2, followed closely again, you know, by Tekke 1. And as usual, they would have left Tekke 3. By the way, one of the discourses we'll have during Christmas will be with children. Okay, I'd like about 3-4 children in the studio for them to come tell me what they want to do for Christmas. And I think the maximum age will be 10. We'll be looking at between 7 and 10. So if you're interested in having your children come in here, send me a, you know, WhatsApp message, text, and we'll fix it. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.